Daf Chofchas. Dvarim shebiksav yatara shai le'omrei alpeh. If something is written in the Torah, you cannot read it balpeh in order to be mitzi v'tzibur, but rather you must read it from inside the Torah. Rashi here mentions that mincha is a din min haTorah, as we know that Yitzchak was mesaken tefilas mincha. But this is shver according to many Rishayim who hold that the whole inyan of tefillah is only midrabanan. There was once a takana made that they couldn't bring Eitzim up to the Beis HaMikdash, and also a takana that they could not bring Bikurim up to the Beis HaMikdash, both things that they were brought, that were always brought with much simcha. The Gemara says, for the tzaddikim who are meiser nefesh, we say the pasuk in Mishlei, Zecher tzaddik livracha. But for Yerubam ben Nevat v'chaberav, we say v'sheim rishayim yirkav. Rabbi Yaisi holds, any day that there is musaf, there was a maimed. The halal of Rosh Chodesh is not midaraisa, but the halal of Chanukah is midaraisa. And Rashi explains, since the Nevi'im were misakin it, so it's similar to a daraisa. Rabbeinu Yonason says, even though it isn't min haTorah, but there's a mitzvah to say halal on a day that a miracle happened to a person. The Gemara says there are 18 days a year that even a yachid, a yachidus, completes halal. What are these 18 days? The 8 days of Sukkot, the 8 days of Chanukah, the first day of Pesach, and the first day of Shavuos. In Chutz La'aretz, we have 21 days, the 3 extra days of Yontav of Chutz La'aretz, the second day of Yontav. But Rosh Chodesh isn't mentioned, so we see that Halal of Rosh Chodesh is not Midaraisa, but only Midarabanan. A Yachid isn't supposed to complete Halal of Rosh Chodesh, but once he starts, he can finish. The Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchais on Shivasa Batamas. According to the Tana Kama, who holds the Torah was given on Vav Sivan, so Moshe went up to Shamayim on the 7th day of Sivan. And according to Rabbi Yaisi, the Torah was given on the 7th day of Sivan, and Moshe Rabbeinu also went up on the 7th day of Sivan. So according to both people, he went up on the 7th day of Sivan, as we see from the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Pei Vav. 40 days later, after the 7th of Sivan, is equal to Shivasa Batamas. That was the day that he came down from Shamayim, and he broke the Luchais when he saw the Egel Hazav. And finally, the Gemara brings down different psukim to show exactly what happened on Shivasa Batamas and Tisha B'Av. Daf Choftes. The Meraglim were sent out on Choftes Sivan, and they returned on Ches B'Av with their bad reports about Eretz Yisrael. Klal Yisrael then went and cried all of that night, so Hashem made a gzera on Tisha B'Av that they couldn't enter Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem said, since Klal Yisrael cried in vain, he will make Tisha B'Av a day of mourning for future generations. The Gemara says the Beis HaMikdash burnt on the day of the 9th of Av, but most of it burnt on the 10th of Av. Also, both the 1st and 2nd Beis HaMikdash burnt on Tisha B'Av. At the time of the destruction, the Levi'im were singing from Tehillim Kapitel Tzadik Dalet, and it was a Sunday. The Gemara says when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Gizbarim returned the keys to Shamayim by throwing them up to Shamayim, and the Pirchei Kahuna then jumped into the burning fire. As here we've discussed the reasons for Tisha B'Av and the reasons for Shivasa Batamas, let us also mention the reasons for Tzom Gedalia and Asara B'Tevis. We know from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the purpose of Tzom Gedalia is very special. It's the only one of the 4 Tanesim which does not directly involve the Beis HaMikdash. It is meant to teach us that on a day which a tzaddik is killed, that's considered to be as much of a tragedy as the day on which the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. That's the purpose of Tzom Gedalia. The background behind Asara B'Teves is very nicely explained in the book Sefer Master of Masechta, written by Reb Nachman Cohen on Masechta Tainus. He explains that the Asara B'Teves falls during the winter on a very short day, not in the season of fasts. It's a Tainus which can easily be forgotten. Historically, the day of Asara B'Teves is the day that marks the beginning of the siege of Yerushalayim. People have a tendency not to pay attention to beginnings of things. They usually cannot foresee the problem that small, seemingly insignificant actions can have. In fact, it took 2.5 years from the beginning of the siege of Yerushalayim until Yerushalayim finally fell. This time serves to keep us aware that if we are vigilant about things not starting off wrong, then we will not have to worry about final destructions and exiles. Halachically, the Abu Dram underscores the significance of this fast, the root cause of subsequent fasts in the Jewish calendar, by ruling that if it falls out on Shabbos, if it could fall out on Shabbos, we still have to fast on Asara B'Teves. And in fact, we know Bizman HaZeh, that Asar B'Tevis is the only fast that can fall out on Erev Shabbos, and in fact it's the only fast that we fast if it falls out on Erev Shabbos. This is based on the Pasuk, where we use the term Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, that's used to describe the events of Asar B'Tevis. This term, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, is the same phrase that's used to describe Yom Kippur. Therefore, the connection between whether you're allowed to do it on Shabbos, if it falls on Shabbos, or not, is the same as it is for Yom Kippur, and that's why if it were to fall on Shabbos, we would have to fast. In fact, with our calendars today, it can never fall on Shabbos, but it could fall on Erev Shabbos, and if it does, we do fast on Erev Shabbos. The Gemara then says, Kishem shemisha nichnas av mimatin besimcha, misha nichnas adar marbin besimcha. Just like we lessen simcha when av comes, when adar comes, we increase our level of simcha. The Chayzim Lublin says that pshat in misha nichnas av mimatin besimcha doesn't just mean that we have to lessen the amount of simcha that we celebrate during av, but that a person has the ability to minimize the whole chaydish av by being in a spirit of simcha. That spirit of simcha will speedily bring the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, b'mheira v'yameinu. Rashi here says, misha nichnas adar marbin besimcha, that this is yemei nisim hayu liyisrael purim u'pesach. The obvious question is, why does Rashi bring in Pesach? We're discussing Adar. What does Pesach have to do with this? Rabbi Yaakov Emden explains that Rashi is coming to Barvor Nakasha. If we say misha nichnas adar marbin besimcha, so why aren't we marbin besimcha for Nisan also, or for Kislev also? Why don't we say misha nichnas Nisan marbin besimcha because of Pesach, or misha nichnas Kislev marbin besimcha for Hanukkah? Why do we say that just for Adar? So he answers, since Adar is the beginning of a series of Nisan, namely Purim and Pesach, it's the beginning of a whole series, that's why Adar carries specialty to it, and we say misha nichnas Adar marbin besimcha. The Gemara says, since bad things were connected with Chodesh Av, a Jew should avoid court cases with Goyim during Chodesh Av, since the mazel for this Chodesh is bad, but rather he should move it to Adar. And the Gemara says it is usher to wash clothing during the week of Tisha B'Av if one intends to wear the clothing during that week. This is the Shita of Reb Nachman. But according to Reb Sheshes, even if a person does not intend to wear it that week, he's still not allowed to wash clothing during the week of Tisha B'Av. Normally, one cannot wash clothes on Chol HaMoed or during the week of Tisha B'Av. But if a person has only one shirt, he can wash on Chol HaMoed or on Thursday of the week of Tisha B'Av. Gihutz, which is pressing of Kli Pishtan, is mutter to do during the week of Tisha B'Av, although you cannot wear freshly laundered clothes during that week. Regarding Avelus for Tisha B'Av, according to Reb Meir, these chumras begin on Rosh Chodesh Av and they go until Tisha B'Av. According to Reb Yehuda, it's for the entire month of Av. And according to Reb Shimon and Gamliel, it's only during the week of Tisha B'Av. Rava says we paskin like Reb Meir, that we begin Avelus from Rosh Chodesh and the Avelus ends on Tisha B'Av. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch Simin Tovkuf Nun Aleph that we're machmir not to take haircuts or have weddings from Shivasa B'Tamuz until after Tisha B'Av. And laundry we don't do during the entire 9 days. Daf Lamed. At the Suda HaMafsekes, which is the last meal before you begin the Tainus of Tisha B'Av, we cannot eat two tafshilin, just one tafshil. This restriction is only chal after Chatzais on Erev Tisha B'Av. But before Chatzais, a person can eat whatever he wants. During the Suda HaMafsekes, a person cannot eat meat, cannot drink wine, and cannot bathe. And of course, as we mentioned before, this chumra of not eating meat and not drinking wine applies today to the entire 9 days. And we could ask, once the Suda HaMafsekes is completed, is one allowed to continue eating after the Suda? The Ravid holds that a person cannot eat. Once the person finishes the Suda HaMafsekes, he's not allowed to eat anymore. But according to the Rush and Taisus on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, one is allowed to eat, and this is in fact how we paskin. The Gemara says, Kol ha-mitzvahs ha-neheges bi-evel, neheges b'tisha b'av. On Tisha B'Av, we are not allowed to eat, drink, anoint, which is referred to as sicha, bathe, wear leather shoes, have marital relations, tashmish hamita, or learn Torah. But one can learn kinis, sad parts of Yirmiyahu, or things that are related to Tisha B'Av. Torah is usher to learn on Tisha B'Av, since we know, pikudei Hashem yusharim misam chelev. Torah makes a person happy. Therefore, if you learn Torah on Tisha B'Av, you would become happy. And you're not allowed to be happy on Tisha B'Av, therefore you're not allowed to learn Torah, except for things which are sad on Tisha B'Av. What about wearing tefillin on Tisha B'Av? This is a machlokes rishayim. The Ran and the Rush hold that one is chayev in tefillin, even though normally an avel does not wear tefillin on the first day of his avelus. But since he wears tefillin on day two of Avelis, Tisha B'Av isn't more chomer than the remaining days of Avelis. Therefore, Tisha B'Av is like the second day of Avelis, and just like on a second day of Avelis, a person is mechuyev to wear tefillin, the same thing is true on Tisha B'Av. However, the Marami Rottenberg and the Ravid both hold that we don't wear tefillin on Tisha B'Av since it's such a sad day. We, of course, wear tefillin on Tisha B'Av, but we only do it much later on in the day by Mincha. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, on Erev Tisha B'Av, used to eat dry bread with salt and water while sitting sadly between the oven and a stove in order to show that he was like an ovel and he was very sad. The Gemara says those places which have a minig to do work on Tisha B'Av, those places they're allowed to do work. Those that have a minig not to do work on Tisha B'Av are not allowed to do work. But all Talmidei Chachamim, no matter where they are, should not do any work on Tisha B'Av. And in fact, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says that all people should try to act like Talmidei Chachamim regarding this Indian of not doing work on Tisha B'Av. And they should not do work, so a person should feel the tsar of the yom. Rabbi Akiva says that anyone who does work on Tisha B'Av will never see bracha from that work. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says anyone who eats on Tisha B'Av, it's like he ate on Yom Kippur. And the Gemara says, Kol ha-mis'abel al Yerushalayim, Zeicha v'reya b'simchasa. Any person who is mis'abel, who mourns for Yerushalayim, he will be zeicha to share in joy and simcha in the future. The Gemara in Yevamos Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis says that avelus for something recent, an avelus chadasha, for example, recent death of a relative, is different than avelus for something ancient, avelus yishana, i.e. for the churban beis hamikdash. As the Rambam writes, one should not indulge in excessive tsar over someone who dies, for a person dying is the normal derech ha'olam. Regarding Yerushalayim, however, there is no isser of excessive avelus. As Rabbi Yosha Ber Salavechik Shlita explained on this Rambam, that for Yerushalayim, we mourn indefinitely, because as long as Yerushalayim is not restored and rebuilt, this is taka not the derech ha'olam. Therefore, we can mourn as much as we want to. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda says that a person should sleep on the other side of the bed versus the comfortable side of the bed on the night of Tisha B'Av. Tosfos says, today for example, if a person normally sleeps with two pillows, on Tisha B'Av a person should use only one pillow. The Gemara says that Yom Kippur is such a happy day because it's the day of Slicha and Mechila, and it's the day that the second Luchais were given to Klal Yisrael. Chamisha Asar B'Av, which is the other very happy day of the year, the 15th day of B'Av, was happy for many reasons. Number one, since that was the day that the Shvatim were permitted to marry into other Shvatim. Number two, it was the day that Binyamin could marry people from other Shvatim. Number three, on that day, the people of the Midbar that were being punished for the Chet HaMeraglim stopped dying. Number four, which Ula says that they were removed, that was the day that the guards were removed who had been put up to prevent people from going up to Aliyah LeRegel. These guards were put in by Yerovam ben Nevat. Reb Masna says that the 15th day of Av was also the day that permission was given by the Romans to bury the dead people of Beitar. And finally, the 15th day of Av was the day that they would stop cutting wood for the Mizbeach. This was because that was the day that the days were starting to get shorter, that time of year. The sun was not as strong, and the wood would get worms in it. Therefore, they stopped cutting the Eitzim on that day. Daf Lamed Aleph. After Tu B'Av, people need to extend their evening learning, since the nights begin to get longer. One who adds times to his learning on those evenings will have time added on to his life. The Gemara says that on Tu B'Av and on Yom Kippur, all girls of Yerushalayim would go out with white, borrowed clothing. This was so as not to embarrass the poor girls who didn't have fancy clothing of their own. In other words, now everybody was equal. The eligible boys who were not married would go out to the field to find a kala. And there were three categories of girls. The beautiful girls would say, Tnuei Nechem L'Yoifi, put your emphasis on beauty. The ones with Yichus would say, Tnuei Nechem L'Mishpacha, put your emphasis on Yichus, since the main job of a wife is to raise children. And the unattractive girls would say, get married just L'Shem Shemayim, since the Mishnah says, Sheker HaChein V'Hevel HaYoifi, Isha Yiras Hashem Hitisalo. The key is Yiras Shemayim. But in fact, you can adorn a girl like this with gold and jewelry, which will compensate for the possible lack of attractiveness. And finally, the Masechta ends with the famous pasuk from Yeshaya, Perek Chaf Hei. In the days to come, Hashem will make a circle of tzaddikim, and Hashem will stand in their midst in Gan Eden, and these tzaddikim will be able to see Hashem as if he was mamish standing there. As the pasuk says, V'yomar b'yayim ha'u, hinei alakeinu zeh, Kivinu loy b'yoshienu, Zeh Hashem kivinu loy nagila v'nismacha b'shua asai. On this day of Tchias HaMesim, this is our God, the one we have waited for, so he should save us. This is our God that we have waited for. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. The Rabbeinu Bechaye points out that this Gemara is one of the Seidus HaTorah. A circle is something which has no end, similar to Olam Haba for Tzadikim, which has no ending. The Perush Kaftor V'Ferach says that the pointing of the finger of Tzadikim when they see HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Chvoyde B'Atzmei is a remez to the fact that they'll be Zeicha to have Seidus HaTorah revealed to them at that time. It's interesting to point out that this Masechta, which primarily deals with rain, ends with a discussion of Gan Eden and Tchias HaMesim. What is the connection between rain and Tchias HaMesim? The Lubavitch Rebbe Shlita, in a Siyam on Masechta Tainis, as brought in the Sefer Master of Masechta, explained the connection as follows. The Gemara underscores the greatness of Tu B'Av through what we said, that in the days to come, Hashem will make a circle for the Tzadikim in Gan Eden, and he will sit in their midst, and every one of them will point a finger towards them and realize this is Mamish Hashem. This Gemara depicts the scene which will take place during the era of Tchias HaMesim, resurrection. At that time, man will see, Mamish see, Hashem, with even greater clarity than they saw Hashem at Yam Suf. At Yam Suf, B'nai Yisrael was able to comprehend the imminent aspect of Hashem, Zekelion Ganveyo. At Tchias HaMesim, however, they will also comprehend the transcendent aspect of Hashem. Thus, they could proclaim, Hine Elokeinu Zeh, Zeh Hashem Kivinu Lo. The greatness of the period of Tchias HaMesim is also depicted by the fact that the Tzadikim would be sitting in a circle around Hashem. There are no prominent or secondary points along a circle. Thus, during this period of Tchias HaMesim, the equality of everyone will be stressed, each and every person. Given that this equality is based upon the unification of Hashem, it leads to forgiveness. In fact, the term mechoil means both circle and forgiveness, and it leads to forgiveness, peace, and simcha. A facsimile of this occurs on Yom Kippur, because on that day, Klal Yisrael are considered to be like angels, and they unify Hashem's name on a very high level for forgiveness, friendship, and simcha. As we know, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said, there were no greater Yomim Tovim than Yom Kippur and Chamisha Asar Ba'av. These 2 days together were equal in terms of simcha, therefore you can make this connection, and the two are connected in terms of unity. Chamisha Asar Ba'av is also a great day of joy, because the properties of this day generate unity. And we know this, as we mentioned before, the Gemara brings down 6 reasons for Chamisha Asar Ba'av. But here in this explanation, we explain exactly where unity comes in within these 6 pshatim about the reasons we celebrate Chamisha Asar Ba'av. First of all, on this day, Klal Yisrael became unified in Midbar Sinai. Until that point, when the Dor Midbar stopped dying, there was a disunity amongst the people who were living. They were divided into those who would enter Bnei Yisrael, who would enter the land of Eretz Yisrael, and those who would not enter the land of Eretz Yisrael. From Chamisha Asar B'Av and on, all of the living people had the common bond that they would enter the land of Eretz Yisrael. Number 2, Klal Yisrael was further unified on this day, because the Shevet of Binyamin was no longer discriminated against. They were permitted to intermarry with the other tribes. Thirdly, the prohibition giving the daughters of Tzlafchad, given to the daughters of Tzlafchad, was rescinded on Chamisha Asar B'Av. Thus, the tribes were permitted to intermarry with each other and not be concerned about inheritance rights. As we mentioned before, now the Shvatim were all allowed to marry one another, and there was no issue in terms of Yerusha that one might marry into a different Shevet. In the time of Hoshea, Klal Yisrael was reunited on this day, in the sense that they were all able to worship Hashem as one in the Beis Hamikdash. Number 5, the burying of the dead at Beitar, a city who rejoiced at the destruction of Yerushalayim, indicated that a unity was being reestablished even with those who had passed on to the Olam HaEmes. And finally, number 6, the Karban Eitzim on this day was offered for Kohanim, Levim, and all of those who did not know which Shevet they belonged to. This, of course, also served to unite all of Klal Yisrael. We also know that from Chamisha Asar B'Av and onward, as we just mentioned in the Gemara, people are supposed to increase their evening hours of Torah study, and they will be rewarded with an increased life. So we see that Torah study should be increased. Torah study is a common unifying force amongst Klal Yisrael in general. Whereas with regard to mitzvahs, there are differences in terms of obligations, a different minhagim, but in terms of Torah, Torah is the same for everybody. Again, unification. The end of this Masechta is tied to the beginning in the following sense. The Masechta concludes with the portrayal of the era of Tchias HaMesim. In the beginning of the Masechta deals with falling of the rain. And we know that these are all related. As Rabbi Yochanan said, there are three areas which Hashem keeps the exclusive right to control. In other words, that Hashem holds the key to them and he does not give them to a shliach. Number one, geshem, rain. Number two, childbirth. And number three, tchias hamesim. Some people also said the parnasa. But since rain is connected to tchias hamesim, that's a further connection between those two. This bond is further strengthened in that we follow the shita of Rabbi Yeshua and that we are not maskir geshamim until the last day of Sukkot. Even though we would also, everyone would like to say that we begin being maskir geshamim at the beginning of Sukkot, and that should really follow the first day of Sukkot and not later. But because we don't want the rain to spoil the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah, or for that reason, we do not mention something which could disrupt the Yom Tov. And therefore, Rabbi Yeshua says that we put it and we say geshem at the end of Sukkot, on Shemini Atzeres, in fact. And today that's how we do it. We say the piyut of Rabbi Elazar HaKalir in Musaf, which is the long piyut of geshem. But that's when we begin saying geshem. We do not say it on the first day of Sukkot. Rabbi Yeshua wanted to maintain peace and harmony without any disruption, and that is what he considers to be the essence of Mechael, the circle of the righteous. So the connection between Tchias HaMesim and geshem is very simple. The pursuit of achdus, peace and harmony amongst all of those of Klal Yisrael. In conclusion, let us quote the Sfas Emes' last words of this Masechta, which are Hashem Yizakeni Liya Yischokenu Im HaTzadikim B'Gan Eden. Hadron Allah Masechta Tainus.